Butler had a couple of dogs called Bruce and Bruschetta.
Oh, yeah.
Like those. You could only tell the difference because he painted one toenail pink and the other toenail blue, so you could tell the difference. Well, it's good to see everybody out this morning. Remember those who requested prayer. The ones who have been added recently are Reggie Holden's mother and Lou Jackson and Ann Welch. Remember these? Any other need to know about? Okay. Well, let's begin our worship service with your handout, Unworthy.
Unworthy am I of the grace that He gave. Unworthy to hold to His hand. Amazed that a King would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. Stripes on His back, my sins caused His blood to be shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that He wore on His head. Unworthy, unworthy.
Turn to Revelation 21. Our hymn after scripture reading and prayer will be hymn number 46. Is that right? Hymn number 46. Revelation 21, I want to read one verse of scripture. The title of my message this morning is You and Not You. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, that is glory, anything that is defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the distinction that You make in Your Word. The clear, succinct, and precise division that You have placed on humanity of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and those who are not. We praise You for Your goodness, that You counted us in that multitude that outnumbers the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, to bring into the fold of grace, hold close to you and make them your family. We ask, Lord, that you would give us thankful hearts as we recollect these things. Father, we pray for those who are sick, those who are on the prayer list, those who are going through trials and troubles and sorrows in the heart. We know you come to heal the brokenhearted, to set it free them that are captive, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We pray you will deal in each case with mercy and tenderness, as you are apt to do. Father, help us this hour to worship you, and help us to know that thou art God, there is none else. There is none beside thee, nor is there any like thee. That you, as sovereign ruler of this universe, declare the end from the beginning. And even things that aren't, you declare them to be. Father, help us to worship you. You are worthy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn number 46. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Receive the offering this morning, please. Let's pray. Father in heaven, merciful and gracious, who has given unto us, your people, the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, and with him freely given us all things. You who chose us in him before the foundation of the world, made him to be our surety and assume our sin debt. Then come into this world and take on the form of human flesh, and being found in the fashion of a man, became obedient even to the death of the cross. Wherefore you have highly exalted him and given him a name, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. We know that what we have, anything we have this side of eternal perdition, is by mercy and grace. And we thank you. We didn't deserve any of your favor. And yet you shed abroad your love in our hearts. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. With thankful hearts, let us return unto Thee that which You've given us for the preaching of the gospel here and other places. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Life has entered the building. Revelation 22 and verse 27 makes a clear distinction as to who is going to heaven. Stan called me the other day. He had seen an advertisement on TV, I think it was. And it says, are you going to heaven or hell? Or are you going to heaven or no? Go to heavenorno.net and find out. Well, I say go to the Bible and find out, because that's where the truth is. Our Lord says here, and He makes this distinction, there shall in no wise enter into anything. Enter it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As I was writing up this message, I didn't see what I just saw a few moments ago. That the distinction made between the lost sinner and the saved sinner, because those written in the Lamb Book of Life qualify in the first part of that, as every one of those things, is simply this. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It has been held from time immemorial that good people go to heaven. Of course, the measure of good has nothing to do with God, but rather by comparing presumed moral behavior. And the only measure of goodness, however, is God Himself. So if you want to talk about being good as a measure to get you into heaven, then here's how good you've got to be. You've got to be as good as God. That's a tall order. The only measure of goodness is God. In fact, the name God is a derivation or a transliteration of the English word good. When our Lord revealed His glory to Moses, the first thing He revealed was His goodness. I shall make My goodness to pass before you. The true and living God is good, but of that goodness the natural mind is without a clue. The problem then is that since ignorant men have no true concept of goodness or what is good, they have bought into religious notions of God, and therefore their notion of goodness is completely skewed. If you listen to the language of the day in which we live, it seems that everyone who dies goes to heaven. I think it was Henry Mann who told me one time, he was talking to a funeral director. He said, I've been a funeral director for 50 years. I've never buried a lost man. Never buried a lost man. Now, this does not mean, if people believe that, This does not mean that everyone who dies is necessarily good. But the anemic, emaciated, feckless concept of God makes it veritably impossible or highly unlikely for God to cast anybody into hell. There was a time not long ago that even the vilest profligate believed that there was a place called hell. Now it is rare to hear the word except in a reference to bad circumstances happening to good people. Their life is hell, people say. Now, I've heard many in this day say that God is too good to send people to hell. The fact is that He is too good not to send people to hell. This poor view of God is born of the constant bombardment of false teaching that God loves you, that God loves everybody, that God loves everybody and has a wonderful plan for their life. And God loves everybody makes it more and more impossible for the natural mind to believe that hell even exists. Such things have made preachers to blame natural disasters on the devil and deny God altogether when some person or child or group comes to a horrible end. They say things like, how can there be a loving God if He lets terrible things like genocide, famine, murder, child abuse, and such exist in the world? That's their argument. It is easier for such to deny the existence of God rather than admit that they wish such a God existed to keep such things from happening or to punish those who do such things. The natural mind, whether inebriated with religion or not, simply cannot equate bad or evil things with God, whom they've been programmed to believe is good and loving by their mutated and carnally warped definition of goodness and love. This twisted concept of a good and loving God has made men question God based on circumstance rather than judging circumstance based on the will of God. What if God, the good and loving God, actually causes these things to happen? Isaiah 45 said, I create evil. I create good. I create light. I create darkness. I do all these things. All these things. In Amos 3:6, which was dealing with the Chaldeans coming in to destroy Jerusalem. And the false prophets would say, nah, the Bible don't say that. Preachers don't say that. We'll look at that in this afternoon's lesson. Amos said, shall there be trouble in this city? And the Lord not do it? The Lord not do it? What if the good and loving God actually created some men in order to destroy them? Actually created them in order to destroy them. God has created all things, saith the Scripture, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Even the wicked for the day of evil. What if God, says in Romans 9, what if it? Now what if means it's not a question, it's a statement. It means, what if He does this? You have nothing to say about it. What if God, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels fitted or made to destroy, that He might show grace and mercy to the vessels He's before prepared for glory. What if God was like that? What if God, out of the same lump of Adamic clay, made some vessels for honor and some for dishonor? Some vessels to be used for His glory, some vessels made to use for His justice and His wrath. What if God did that? What if the good and loving God has appointed the moment of every man's death, and no matter what, that man cannot pass? It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment, Scripture saith. Man's days are with God, his months are numbered. His boundaries are set and he cannot pass. It is God who kills and God who makes alive. It is God who brings up and it is God who casts down. I, the Lord, do all these things, saith the Lord. What if the good and loving God actually loved some men and hated others? Scripture says he hates the workers of iniquity and the evil in Psalm 7 and Psalm 11. In Romans 9 he says, quoting Malachi 3, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And religion says, well, that makes God unrighteous. So Paul addressed that. He said, you shall say, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will harden. What if the good and loving God decided before the world began, even before one human being existed, who would go to heaven and who would not be allowed to go to heaven and would wind up in hell? God said this, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But who's going to go and why? They that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh my. Such a God, it seems, would be totally outside the control of men. Such a God would not give account of his matters. Such a God would do exactly as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases, and could not be stopped under any circumstances once he's put his hand to a thing. Such a God would just think, and it would be done. Just think it, and it would be done. That's what he says in Isaiah 14, as I have thought, it shall come to pass. Such a God would never fit puny man's mold to be a subject to his creature's foolish dreams of being influential. Men think we can influence God. Or holding hands, or waving hands, or calling down spirits from heaven, or empowering God the way they talk. They empower God to empower them. Let me tell you about your influence with God. Zero. Zero. Then why pray? Because he told you to pray. And if you love him, you'll want to talk to him. Nobody has to force you to pray or set 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. If you're a child of God, you're going to be constantly thinking about him, even when you don't know you're thinking about him. Such a God would be God, and he alone would determine who would be accepted and welcomed into his eternal home and who would be rejected. People say God has nothing to do with reprobation, and there is a sense in which reprobation is a thing that has a beginning and brings to fruition a course, if you will, in Romans 1:21. Beginning with refusing to acknowledge God as he is, and ending with refusing to acknowledge God. But also, Scripture says that he's ordained some to condemnation. He's made the wicked for the day of evil. And those who have turned against the word of God do so because they're appointed to it. That's the language of Scripture. You say, well, that makes me uncomfortable. Good. Would to God I could make men uncomfortable. I can't. But the Word of God can. The Word of God can. Our text here in Revelation 21 proclaims that some are welcome in his presence and some are not. In that glorious church, that New Jerusalem described in such a wonderful symbolic and metaphorical poetry, some are not allowed and will never be permitted entrance. In that place, some are welcome and some are not. Not everyone who dies goes to heaven. Everyone is not up there looking down and watching over those left behind. Those up there did not become angels when they died. Angels are created beings, human beings. They're created creatures, genderless creatures, can take the form of many things. Human beings are not such. Everyone up is not up there looking down and watching over those left behind. According to our text, many who would think such a thing would have to crane their neck and look up if they wanted to watch those left behind. Our text clearly proclaims who will and will not be in heaven. And why? First declares who will not enter in and why. Devilers, abominators, liars will not enter into heaven. Well, I can't go. I can't go. No wise will they enter in. Didn't Paul say that to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? And he was talking to church members. The first letter that he wrote to the churches, 1 Corinthians, some 20-some years after the Lord went to glory. And you can see the church, because it's filled with human beings, doesn't hold its integrity very long. This is the first letter written to a church, and this church is a mess. If you think hypocrites go to church, you're right. If you think too many sinners are there, you're right. That's the only ones that belong there. Many years ago, one of the preachers up in the Cove, they had these things called churching people on Wednesday night. Once a month, they would throw people out of church if they didn't meet the church's standards. And one of the preachers says, "Go up there, Sequoia, Tim, James, take anything." Yes. If you're ruined and wretched and a sinner and know you have no hope in this world and in yourself, welcome. I got something I could tell you. Just might do you good. Just might do you good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind." Now that covers a lot. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Nobody's going to heaven, it seems. And then he says to those who have been saved by God's grace, "And such were some of you." And such were some of you. "But you've been washed. And you've been sanctified. And you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Some people ain't going to heaven. But it ain't because those who do go to heaven, it ain't because they're different than those that don't. That's what you need to remember. There ain't no difference. There ain't no difference. If God would lift His sovereign hand of restraint from any one of us, there is no telling what we would do. There is no telling. We sit in a house full of murderers and liars by nature. That's what we are by nature. Read Mark 7. In Revelation 21, 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The second death. In chapter 22 and verse 11 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still." Now what's the distinction made there? distinction is made back in our text. Those who practice such things as abominations and lies, and set defilers, shall not enter in. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a thing. What a thing. This seems utterly reasonable that wicked men should not go to heaven. It seems utterly unreasonable that wicked men should go to heaven because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Even to that part of false religion that retains some concept of the holiness of God, it seems reasonable that wicked men should suffer punishment. If then some are welcome into God's presence, who requires perfection to be there, and holiness and righteousness like His own. You say, well, they must be opposite of those that go to hell. But they're not. They must be good people. No, they're not. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. By nature, those who enter in are welcome there are no different than those who refuse entry. They are not naturally good, but they're rather indistinguishable from those who perish. How is it that they are lovingly ushered into the presence of God if there's no difference between them? The answer is so plain that it befuddles the natural mind. They have access. They have gained entry. They are welcomed because their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the reason. That's it. That's it. They are there because God, because He would, because He's God and He can, God wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why were they written there? Because God wrote their names there. Don't look for another reason. There isn't one. There isn't one. Are they not believers? Yes, they all turn out to be that because they are sheep and God's sheep believe the gospel and follow Christ. But why are they believers? Because their names are written in the Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. In Acts 13:48, it says those that were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word ordained there is prographo. Get our words graphic from it. They are written to life. As many as were believed or written did so because they are written to life. The book in your hands tells us that the book in which the names of the believers are written is the book of the substitute, the book of the Lamb. What was it John the Baptist said when he saw Christ walking down the road? Behold, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, that taketh away the sin of the world. The mark of the book of the Revelation is you find Jesus Christ set forth particularly and redundantly and repeatedly as the Lamb upon the throne. The Lamb. It's the book of the substitute. And all who are in this book are redeemed by blood, the blood of the Lamb, and they are made kings and priests unto their God. Says that twice in the book of Revelation. First in Revelation 1, 5, and 6, He's washed us in His blood and made us kings and priests unto God. And in Revelation 5, 10, it says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain that has redeemed us by His blood out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people and made us kings and priests unto our God. I'm looking at a bunch of kings and a bunch of priests made so by God. This short yet precise verse here says it all. Those who enter into heaven are there by grace alone. Their works, neither good nor bad, had anything to do with them being there. They are there because their names were written in the book of God. Chapter 17 of Revelation. Verse 8 said, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They'll wonder when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is." They'll wonder. Who shall wonder? Those whose names are not written in the book of life. Those whose names are written there, they know who the beast is. They know who the beast is. Those who shall not enter do not have their names in that book. In chapter 20, verse 15, it said, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Lamb's book of life. I know, I remember hearing a preacher one time, back when I was in false religion, he gave an invitation at the end of the meeting. It was about a 15-minute job, a lot of verses, just as I am, begging and raising hands and closing eyes and standing up and sitting down, a whole lot of stuff going on. He said, "If you'll come down front right now and confess Jesus Christ and say the sinner's prayer, then an angel from heaven will come down and dip his wing in the blood of Jesus Christ and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life." That sounds nice, but it's just a lie straight out of hell. Because these names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. How could that be? God did it. God did it. What this verse is simply saying is what Jonah said when he was cast out of the belly of the whale. Or right before he was cast out of the belly of the whale. He did a whole lot to get out of that belly. He prayed, he prayed, he vowed. He said, "Look, I'll pay all my vows." He's still in the belly. He said, "I'll do what I'm supposed to do," and he's still in the belly. He even told the truth. He said, "Salvation is of the Lord. If I get saved, God's going to have to save me." He's still in the belly of the whale. It's when God told the whale to spit him out, that's when he was saved. When God tells the whale to spit you out, that's when you'll be saved. Many people have said, "You can't be swallowed by a whale." Last week, it was in the news. A fellow was actually swallowed by a whale. And spat out, because evidently it didn't taste good. He must have been a clown. He must have tasted funny. I don't know. Salvation. This verse, this passage, simple and plain, says that salvation is of the Lord. The Lamb's Book of Life is a roll. We used to sing a song, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Well, if you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there. In the judgment day, books are opened to show men their sins, but not for the child of God. Evil men will be judged out of the books. But then another book is open. A roll book. And there are those there that stand and wait for their name to be called who do not fear judgment. Because as Christ is, so are they in the world. And when God calls out their name, they'll not start smelling like sulfur because all their sins will suddenly come up before them and they'll have to confess them now. Their sins are gone. By the grace of Almighty God, by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree, their sins have been put away. Where God will remember them no more. And if He remembers no more, they're not going to be called up to the judgment. So what's going to happen? The roll's going to be called. Eric Burke Here. Here. Jim Poe. Here. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. One day you hear your name called again. Called into salvation the first time. Called into glory the second. Who shall go to heaven? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God bless you.